All right, let's begin today. It's a continuation of our series of teachings that we titled The Man and His Identity. And I'm going to start today by reading one portion of the scriptures that we read last time, and then we'll read another one. Now, let's begin from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The main message I want to pick today is from the book of Philippians. But I just want to read this one, which is where we have been studying. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says from verse 11, it said, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, that you may have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, and if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, emphasis again from verse 16, from now on we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me stop there. Now, what we have been saying here is talking about the matter of identity. Let me just say a few things. That we said before as a form of review, and then I'll read the other scripture that I want to read for today. We have explained that a person's identity is very important, and more important than just his identity is his own recognition of his identity. That is what radiates in the realm of the spirit, and it affects things around him. It dictates how life responds to him. Like I said, Jesus went into the synagogue to go and teach, and demons were crying out. He didn't go there to cast out demons. That is, there was something about his person that demons outside there were feeling because of the recognition of his identity. Some people, the sons of Sceva, were trying to cast out demons using the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. They mentioned two names there, the name of Jesus and the name of Paul. And they said that Jesus we recognize, and Paul we have heard about. That is, Paul had the reputation in the demonic realms. They knew there was somebody somewhere causing them a lot of headache, all right? But Jesus, they were personally acquainted with the person of Jesus Christ, all right? Now, so because Paul understood who he was in Christ Jesus, even the demons were feeling his own presence also. And the people who were using names, it's not just about method. Go there and say, this is how to say it. This is how to do it. No, it's whether you are real in yourself. That is, it's not just about giving yourself an identity, but recognizing the identity that you really have, spiritually speaking. Now, you understand what I'm explaining there? So that's very important. So it's how you recognize that true identity that life relates with you. I like to say this again and again. In life, a lot of people behave as if they are beggars. We have this beggarly attitude towards life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, it's just a joke. Because it really happened. Just like it's funny. One day I was in the filling station, and the man said, you know, I don't know how he recognized me, but I was buying fuel. He came on a motorbike. I was buying fuel in my car, and he greeted me, Pastor. So after a while, I was about to pay for my fuel, and I said, I'll be Pastor. Should I add my own too? And, you know, these days, I get very irritable when I hear things like that. Just because of my teachings, I feel like it's not the right attitude, okay? You shouldn't go around life begging. You should be a giver. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? You have called me a pastor. You know, I've seen people that they say, oh, God, your words have been a blessing. You've been such a great blessing. Then they want to take material things from me. It's very, very ungodly. The Bible says clearly that if I have poured out material and spiritual things into you, you should return material things. Not that you collect the spiritual one. Then on top of that, you want to collect the material one also. You understand my point? It's not right. It's not right. All right? And we should wake up and grow beyond that level. So what I'm trying to say is that the beggar's attitude towards life is not good. And it's not just in matters like that. When you go out looking for work, it radiates. Are you a beggar or you're a giver? So that, as I said, it's an attitude about life, okay? If you recognize, listen to this, it's not just about talking, I'm a blessed man. Recognize something, you indeed are blessed. And those are the things we are trying to bring out in this particular series of teachings. Understand this, you indeed are a blessed person. And please face life like a blessed person. Do you understand my point? If you go to a place and people are talking about the challenges of the country, I know there are times that they tell you about maybe a political machination somewhere, how some people are trying to take over the banks. You know, you start feeling like a victim. I don't know whether you follow my point. That these people have ganged up against us and they are taking our banks. You know, you see those kind of people say that this is a northern agenda. Look, no matter how much you try to persuade me, I will reject it because I'm not a victim. I remember once I was talking to a man, you know, my wife was driving and she hit the man's wife's car, and he and I were having a discussion. And at the point in time, I told him, I said, listen, my friend, I am not begging you. We are trying to settle. We come to an agreement, I pay you. I am not a victim. It was an accident. I had to tell him like that. If you think I'm going to be begging you and shaking, sorry, sir, sorry. Sorry for what? It was an accident. My own car is in a mess. What are you talking about? Let's agree on an amount and I pay you. And please stop talking down at me. Get this scenario here that the fact that I am now trying to fix your car, I've accepted it's my responsibility. I will take it. Please, you treat me with respect because I told him simply, I am not a victim. Do you understand my point? I remember once I had an issue like that, the discussion with my landlord, the man who owns the house I'm living in, all right? And we were talking. I told him, okay, you have to understand something. I pay rent, I don't owe you. Therefore, when you were talking, you understand that I'm paying. You know, it's when I'm owing you, expect me to be, you know, cowering around you. If we quarrel too much, I'll move out to a better house. So, please, you know, really, that's my attitude to life. That's my attitude to life. I'm not a beggar. So, I refuse anybody looking at me as if I am a beggar. I used to say those days, and that's a matter of fact. Ask my wife. And you young men, learn it. Any woman do me shakara. I'm not chasing you. There's not, look, you have to understand my point. I'm a very handsome guy. I knew since I was young. No, I'm telling you the truth. Waiting. This is just by the way. There's nothing, you know, it doesn't mean you're a lady that you're being hard to get. Come on, you'll be so hard to get, nobody will get you. So better relax. If you see a good man, you know, I marry him. Don't say like, you go and strong your shoulder, like, wait, must get a rock to crack you first. What are you? They said the heart's too hard to be broken is the one that's too hard to heal. So get my point. You follow my point. If we cannot get, we can't catch you. All right, don't worry. Nobody will catch you. So, bros, nobody should do you shakara. You are a fine guy. You may not have money now, but you are going somewhere. When you explode the whole world, you know you came. So if she can't see, she's the one that can't see. Do you follow my point? It's not as if you are not there. She just can't see. You are getting what I'm saying? Believe me, in those days, one day my wife looked at me and said, this guy, I think you're just full of yourself. I went home to go and pray about it. I'm not joking. After meditation, I said, no, I'm not full of myself. I'm full of God. If any man is in Christ, it's a kind of creature that he is. That's what I have just recognized. Do you follow my point? No, let's be careful. This is not pride, though. This is not pride. It's just knowing that I am not under, I am above. You follow my point? Listen, and that should be attitude to what, no matter what it is you are doing, no matter how people look down on your work, do it with pride and do it properly. Are you getting my point? I told you once, I had one of our brothers were talking, what do you do? And I said, I don't have a job yet. I'm teaching somewhere. The way I turned there, he thought I was going to eat him up. He wasn't talking to me. I overheard him. I said, and you don't call that a job. And you don't call that a job. You follow what I'm going to explain? If you recognize the person that you are, whatever it is, you will do your work so well. The Bible says, seest thou a man that is skillful, diligent in his business? He will stand before kings. He won't stand before obscure men. Let me tell you what the beggar's attitude is. You want to look for something that is made and go and hook yourself inside. You don't realize you're supposed to go and impart somebody's life, impart a company. You go there and make somebody prosper. Life is not all about you. You are a giver. That's a giver's mentality. You know, Christians, they don't know what it means to give. A lot of times, the way we preach to them these days, we think that giving just means that, you know, cheerful giver, dance to the altar. Our giving is only on the altar. It's not so. Giving is every part of life. The job that you do, you are giving. You don't sell something to somebody who, when you know he doesn't need it. If you see some of these people who poverty is their portion, you know people who poverty is their portion. I don't care how much money you have now. I walk into a shop, you want to sell me something I don't need, you can't be rich. One day I want to, in fact, this is our generator that's giving us some issues. You know, the mechanics wanted to buy something. So, you know, it told me I took the, I think Udechukwu gave me the belt that I wanted to replace. I said, okay, when I go out, I'll get a new one. It happened to be a difficult specification to get. Are you getting the point? So one guy just said, okay, take this one now. I said, they're not Organa, the same thing. No, he said, now imagine this thing uses two fan belts. All right? And it uses two belts to turn a very heavy engine. Now, do I need to tell you, even the women, you know, women generally don't know these things like machine, they know that the belts must be the same size. No, be so. So I think I wanted, I can't remember the numbers. Now, you want the size 57. That 57 was difficult to get. So he had 157. I said, I need two of them. I have to buy them in a set. He said, okay, you can take 157 and 156. Belt. Those of you who know about engines, you know that is the stupidest thing that a man can ever utter. Is that you want to buy a tire for your car. You know? He said, okay, take one ring 15 and one ring 16. I remember I looked at him like, you see, these are people like you don't prosper. How much is the belt? 500 naira. Look, life is spiritual. God is marking those things. No, I'm not joking about what I'm saying. God is marking those things. See him? He's so wicked. He wants to sell a man a belt he does not need. A giver will look and say, I wish I could help you. I have only one. He says, okay, let me buy that one. Okay, if you buy one, it's going to be difficult to get a second one. Okay, at least know that I have it. Go and look for the second one. If you find a second one, then you know you have one here. Simple. Like I always say, your own customer will still come. Hey. When I see this boy running up and down, you know this boy that sell recharge cards on the road? I laugh at them. If I was in that kind of business, one person you will not see run is me. You think I'm joking? No. That was like those days in Lagos. When we go out, I didn't have a car. You had to take bus. When the buses, people are plenty in the bus stop. And you know, Nigeria, bus will arrive, people will rush. One guy that never did is this guy you are looking at. Say, you want to sleep at the bus stop? I said, don't worry. See, as you are running down that way, one bus will come and stop in front of me. As God is my witness, it never failed. I said, you won't leave here faster than me. Just that your shirt will tear, mine won't tear. They will pick your pocket, they won't pick mine. So don't worry. I will just stand there. Ojo elegba as they are coming, people will run. Once you don't stop, you know, maybe a meter before me, after me, I ain't shifting. People will run, as one of them run, as they are running towards that one, a new one will come, stop in front of me. I'll just step in nicely. Say, look, you know my reason? I say, my boss is coming. You have to understand my point. These things are not accidents. My boss is coming. There's a boss the Lord sent to come and carry me back. It's coming. So let's see this voice. In fact, after a while, I looked at them the way they do their business. I said, I'm certain of one thing. This is game to them. It's not, they're not trying to sell. Because if it is sell, you're trying to sell, run up and down like this, how much money will you sell to recover from the amount of pain? You know, they will run, throw away their slippers. You see them? I made up my mind, these guys are just having fun. Yeah, because as far as I know, the boy who sells the most there is the one that stands in front of that building. He does not run. Start watching out. He's always in front of that, near that supermarket. He doesn't run. Him, run? No. But before I converted my line to a postpaid line, once I'm in this building, I buy cards only from him. Maybe because I perceive his like spirit. So if I want to buy a card, if he does, it's only when he doesn't have that I buy from anybody else. And what impressed me about him was his nice, you know, his pose, you know, his poise when he stands there. He just holds his card, shows you, you don't want to buy, keep on going. He ain't going to chase you. You know, there are some guys who come near your window. Go buy card. It's your card. I'm not showing card. What's wrong with you? If I want that card, I know where to find it. Hey, I don't harass the living daylight out of you, man. I know that is very, very, very wrong. That guy will start, you know, he's the only guy among them that greets me and I answer. Because his greeting is really, really sincere. It's good afternoon, sir. That good afternoon, sir, is not please buy card, no. Good afternoon, sir, is good afternoon, sir. If he sees me trying to park, he'll call me, please come and park over here. I see a giving spirit in him. There's one that works 24 hours, 7 days a week. Sundays is there selling card. I look at that boy. If God doesn't help him, that guy he was created poor. If God doesn't help him, what do I mean? Let me tell you. A few encounters I've had with him, or my wife had with him, I knew this boy is a wicked soul. You know what I mean by wicked soul? I learned that from one guy. My wife said one day something, I think her, something valuable dropped. Your key. You know a key? dropped between the cracks in those rails over the gutter. And she wanted to get it out. And it was close by. And I said, hey, can you help me with this? I said, that one don't go now. And walked away. Of course, a more responsible person than him helped and brought the key out. I told my wife, I said, you know, I told you I've never liked this boy. The aura around him is a... No, really, it's a poor man's aura. You know, it's not about money. I mean, he and the other guy, they are both on the road doing the same business. But one has a giving spirit. One has a poverty spirit. Listen, your identity, listen, if you are a prince with God, your kingship, your position in life, listen, if you catch a prince in the wilderness without clothes, is he a prince or he's not? So it's not whether he has money or he doesn't. It's not whether he has a car or he doesn't. It's not whether he has a house or he doesn't. It is that he was born a prince. So that's one thing. This giving thing. Giving is not about money. It's about presence. If you're either a giver or you are not a giver. Look, I'm sorry to say this. A lot of Christians who pour money into churches are not givers. They are jokers. Selfish people. You know why? Because they were motivated to give only because they told them there is something to get quickly. Somebody was telling me a few days ago that one big man was in town. I don't want to tell you which town to preach. I said, you single girls, come forth with 50,000 naira now as an offering, otherwise you won't get a husband. I thought it was a joke. I said, the man who was reporting it to me is not a joking type. He's a very serious-minded person. No matter how much you give under such circumstances, you're not a giver. Givers are ready to let the thing go, even if God doesn't return anything back to them. That's how givers behave. Are you getting my point? So you see, let me tell you the truth. Life responds to you when you recognize that I'm a blessed man, and therefore I'm a giving man. Do you understand what I'm saying by giving now? If it comes to financial giving, I do. But even if it doesn't come to money, I go to my office. You know, how much is the boss paying me? If you don't like his job, leave the place. As long as you work there, your desire must be, I must have the testimony of Jacob in the house of Laban. They should say that ever since this man came, we have prospered in this business. You should go home and be thinking, it's not how to, how do I make my own money? No. As long as you work there, be thinking, how do I make this business go forward? That's how big blessed people who are givers, that's how they behave. That's how they think. And listen to me, it affects their bodies. It affects their clothes. It affects their homes. It affects their material prosperity. It affects their mental health. I'm not joking about this. God giving me the strength and the ability to, you know, focus properly in life. I intend to put a lot of things down in books. I'm a doctor. I'm very happy. Therefore, I can say some things with confidence. A lot of people swallow medicines they don't need because they have a wrong spirit. Every day, they're having malaria. Of course, they have fooled them now that it's typhoid fever. They are on one drug after the other. Why? Because of a wrong spirit. Meanwhile, if they had the right spirit, the Bible makes it clear that it doeth good like medicine. A man with a broken spirit is the one that his whole body falls apart. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's why, look, this is very important. Well, look, by the time I finish, maybe there's a book I will recommend. It's titled In Him by Ken Hagin. Gathered all the scriptures in the New Testament that have to do what you are in Christ Jesus. Because that's really where your identity is, in Christ Jesus. When you recognize what you are in Christ Jesus and you tell yourself that every day, recognize that, talk to yourself, put a mirror, say, look, oh boy, this is what the Bible says about you. This is what the Word of God says about you. And you're talking to yourself. You say that again and again continuously. You begin to hear it. It soaks into you. And this is not about persuading yourself about something that you are not. It will merge with what you really are. It will release, like we say, the giant inside you. God didn't create any victim and call the person my son or my daughter. God did not. Every one of God's children are what? Victors. That's what they are. You know, I tell you something. Forget all this one. Will I be rich? Will I be poor? Like, no, no, it's not possible. You cannot be a poor man. It's not. Get what I'm trying to explain. I'm not trying to make you feel happy. Please stop worrying about money. Stop worrying about prosperity. Stop worrying that in life. Me too. Will I? No, in the last few weeks and days and weeks, the Lord has helped me to understand again. Banky, you don't need to worry at all about tomorrow. They say, you know, like people say, when I came to Enugu, land was only 5,000 naira for 2,000 square meters in the heart of GRE. Oh, if I had known that time. The Bible says there's no point saying if I had known. There's no point. You didn't have money. You didn't have. That's one by one. Number two, there are still lands that are selling cheap today that will become valuable tomorrow. Do you follow my point? But that's not even my own doctrine now. What I have come to understand is that, listen, what I was supposed to buy for 5,000 naira 15 years ago, maybe it's now 10 million naira. All that it needs is for me to now have 10 million naira, not cry that, why didn't I buy it then? Therefore, I don't worry myself anymore. No. They say, the price will go up. Let it go up. It can it go up faster than I have gone up? Where is it going to? I am seated with Christ on the right hand of God. Can it reach that level? I like the way Bishop used to say those. They said, children that have not been born, they will build houses. Why are you buying cement to keep? He said, because the price of cement is going up. Children that have not been born yet, they will be born, they will grow up. One day, they will bring out money and build gigantic structures. You are buying cement to keep because the price is going up. I am above in every respect, including in price respect. Prices can't keep me down. Do you know my point? I will overtake them. There's something I say all the time. A friend of my own, we are talking. I say, you know what? I'm getting richer. That one, I'm sure of it. I am getting richer. The day will come that what I don't have today at a certain price, it will be 10 times the current day price, yet I will buy it without thinking. Are you getting my point? I've recognized that. That's my identity. I told you this is what it does. It doesn't make you covetous. It makes you recognize that you don't need to pursue some things. They will follow you. When I was coming to Enugu, I've told you this several times. People say, why are you living Enugu? That's where the money is. I say, these people don't get the point. I don't go where the money is. The money follows me where I am. I don't get my point. You're not understanding. I am the one that's in front. I'm the head and not the tail. It is the tail that, where is the head? Do you get my point? Say, money's in Lagos, so you go to Lagos. No, no. Money will say, where is Banky? We will go there. That's the way it is. That's what I recognize. So they said to me that, why don't you go to where the money is? I said, you guys don't get the point. I create the place of prosperity. My presence, my very presence is the excuse God needs to elevate some places. If I move, believe me, if I move from here, I go to Abakaliki, they will tag Abakaliki rules. They will. I'm telling you, let me move to one neighboring village here. Look, in Jesus' name, development will head in that direction. I command development. No, really, that's what God made his children to be. That's what it means to be the head and not the tail. A head and not the tail is not a song for church. It's a reality of life. Listen, recognize it. I told you my scripture. Isaiah 66:12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you. Since I read that scripture, my life has become easy. What it just means simply is that don't worry, Banky. Don't worry. Don't worry about those things. It's my job to worry about them. You just go out. Be a faithful servant of mine. No, listen, this is just by the way. That's the most important thing that you should run after. That God will look at you and say, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Just be faithful. Do what God gives you to do. Do with a clean heart, honest heart. Do it properly. As for the material blessings, nobody can stop it. Are you getting my point? Nobody can stop it. That's what God created it to be. He's looking. Look, the problem we have, like we said the other time, I think it was on Tuesday, will he find faith on the earth? Would the devil have convinced us that no, if we don't do some machinations of the flesh, we'll never make anything? Better buy land now while it is cheap. Tomorrow is going to become expensive and beat you. You know what I mean? They overtake you in the, you know, inflation is growing faster than you are growing richer. I say it's not possible. Inflation can't overtake me. It's not possible. The land is 10,000 naira today. I don't have the 10,000. Don't worry. When it will become 10 million, I will have 50 million. So what's the big deal? You recognize that? Believe me. One day you will tell the story. Say, Pastor Banks, you see this in those days. Oh, Do you know everything he said has come to pass in my life? I said, God, thank you. I did not doubt him. Thank you for preventing me from laughing at him. And want anybody who laughs at statements like this, you know, like mocking laughter. But there are two kinds of laughter. There's a laughter of joy, the type that Abraham released when he said that he will have a child. And there is a kind of laughter with that royal officer said, hey, if God were to open the door in heaven, this kind of thing, if it happened. Anybody who laughs like that, Bishop Oyedepo said, no word of God ever leaves you the same. So that raising you up or is bringing you down. Like people that the thing brings down. That, you know, God will go out of his way to make sure that it is unto them according to their faith. And beyond their faith self, you understand what I'm saying? Some more terrible things. All right, the Lord is good. So that's the kind of, I'm trying to emphasize that scripture again. All right, recognition of yourself, what you are. Or emphasize that principle again. Now, I said there's a second scripture I want to read. Okay, yeah, there's something, let me just say it again. There are two, we talked about the wrong sources of identity. Remember that. What are the wrong sources we talked about? We talked about titles, associations, and material possessions. Those are the wrong sources of identity. You don't go and buy a title, now make you feel very important. Around nonsense, not necessary. All right, because you have built something, you know, built a big house, or you have money, now you think you are not an important person. That's another wrong source of identity. Because anything tied to material things will behave like grass. Like the Bible says, all flesh is grass. And we say that your association does not save you. There are people who hung around Jesus Christ. He said, well, that day they will show up. And I'll say, you were in my ministerial team. He said, yes, yeah. Sorry, I did not know you. But we're casting out demons in your name. He said, you don't know anointing rubs off. Anointing can catch somebody. You know, a non-believer can live where they are laying hands on the sick. The first person you touches on the road too will get healed. You're just the one that fell on the shirt. He said, what do you mean? The bones of Elisha. He was here, some remnant anointing. Cloth was taken from the bodies of Paul. People were getting healed. So how much more? You know what? So if your shirt touches the body of Paul, something might rub off. So Jesus said, that's all you experienced. I didn't know you. So association, is personal relationship with God that matters. I said, the true sources of identity are two things. Number one, your origin, and what? Your purpose in life, all right, which is manifested in your gifts, all right, and your callings. And I said, though your origin is a true source of identity, we must understand what we mean when we say your origin is a true source of identity. Because to the believer, there's a spiritual source, which is what is more important. Because identity can come, your offspring, what I mean, like, you can look at your ancestry from two angles, the natural one and the spiritual one. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, but there is he that is born of the spirit. And that's why we read from that 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man is in Christ, a new life, all right, is being recorded. It's not after the old order, the new has come. Now, to follow up on that, quickly open to the second scripture that I said we should read, the book of Philippians chapter 3. The book of Philippians chapter 3. Where I want to read, actually it's very long. Initially, I was saying, why should we read that long? But this is Bible study, for goodness sake. We should read everything. Now, there are two portions I really am interested in. First, let's start from, I'll start from verse 1 and go to the last verse. But I'm going to jump many of the verses so as to save some time. He said, finally, from verse 1, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. Now, notice our identity. We are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Please, that is very important concerning our identity. We glory in what? Christ Jesus. You know what he means to glory? To boast. To rejoice in an achievement. You get my point? That's what it means to glory. We don't glory in what we have outwardly. We don't glory in our titles and our degrees. We don't glory in our material possessions. We don't glory in our natural surnames. I'm from this particular family. You get my point? No. We glory in who? In Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something before I read further. We began it last time that only in Christ do you find the true identity. There are two sides to life. There is a physical side that men see. There is a spiritual and real side. Remember that our scripture was I reading in recent times in Revelation chapter 3 to the church in Laodicea. that God said they were boasting in material things. They said, our church building is big. We have the highest number of cars parked in our presence during the services. What we cannot, look, we don't need to pray about some things. We use money to solve everything. Amongst them were great men, materially speaking. And they had all the material things that people around them could have. Let me tell you something. You are a Christian. I went to preach somewhere the other day. Some people didn't understand what I was saying. I said, God doesn't owe it to you to prove that he can make you the richest man in the world. Because it is not one of the races he has drawn for himself. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. Don't let it worry your head that an unbeliever is the richest man in the world. God doesn't know. That's a good way to put it. He doesn't care. Call yourself anything you like. It doesn't change anything. Richest man in the world is a title. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't worry yourself about it. Gone are the days when we used to believe that God will bless us so much that the unbeliever will know he's blessing us. You know, let me tell you the truth. The unbeliever has so much problems that he doesn't need God to bless you for him to know he needs God. He's confused. He's afraid. It's on record. All right, those who have investigated that when Christians are on their deathbed, they are not afraid. On the deathbed, they seem to be looking forward to another journey. That's a matter of fact. They were stoning Stephen, and he wasn't feeling the stones. He was looking somewhere. Stone will land at the back of his head. They say, see the glory. What's wrong with this guy? Give him another stone. Bah! The guy says, the Lord is rising. Give him another one. Bah! The brightness of heaven. He's not noticing all these bitch people are doing here. Are you getting my point? The unbeliever has so many problems. You don't need to go and prove to him that God can make people rich. Listen, my friend, the devil can make people rich. You want me to prove it to you? It was called a temptation when Jesus was offered wealth, material. And if he wasn't so, why would he call it a temptation if the devil couldn't do it? Listen to the music, Witch's Invitation, by Carmen. It described how a witch called him to his house and showed him all the things that he could do, all the things he could achieve with his practice of magical powers. And he said, what can your God do to compete with this? He showed him the powerful things he had done. He said, I made this man rich by performing druid worship. I was paid to curse this man with AIDS. I did this and did this, that. When he finished, he said, what can your God do to compete with this? And Carmen said, it is not about what God can do. Let's see, when you die, where are you going, boy? When you die, you will go to hell. When I die, I go to heaven. You want to see what my God can do? I have been redeemed. You are living in sin. Get my point. You are living in sin, and you know it. Let's get this clear. Life has two sides, so don't let the world distract you with outward things. They were telling me the other day about one notorious bank robber that was killed recently in Enugu State here. With all the money the man stole, in his village, I heard he used to live in the shrine. He couldn't live in the house he built. You think he doesn't know that he's suffering? You think he doesn't know he's suffering? Let me tell you the truth. The man without Christ is actually in trouble. Look, a minister colleague of mine and a friend was here yesterday to see me. Israel, you were here then. He just came back from the US where he went to preach. And he showed me the videos and all of that. He told me before he went. And I was happy because I'm not saying it is wrong, but I'm not exactly excited about a man saying, I have international invitations to go and preach. You go there, the church that they moved from Lagos to America is where you are preaching. The same boys who were in Lagos, you go to preach to them in America. I'm not saying it's bad, but just to me, that's not international ministry. That's just that's Lagos ministry, Enugu ministry across the city. It's the same thing. You see, in most churches you see in England, you see them on TV. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just trying to pass a comment. All right? They are He said, oh, this man has a 2,000 capacity church in London. It's the same boys who left with him from Lagos that are going to the church. Don't let the word London make it look like England is not evangelized. Do you understand what I'm saying? But this man showed me the videos. There was a church he preached in. He was the only black person. He preached in churches that great men of those days preached, maybe like 100 years ago. One of the churches he preached in was founded in 1824. Do you understand my point? All of them, white. Say, made an altar call in a place. Said that the pastor told him that in the first, maybe the first time in 40 years, that is happening. Saw him laying hands on white people. They were just talking from here, you know, from town here. All right? You know, Catholic churches, Presbyterian churches, churches that are not typical Pentecostal. Hey, hey, somebody shout hallelujah there. What's happening? It's bubbling in my soul. Hallelujah. No. He said, these are people that when you say amen, they don't know to respond amen. Praise the Lord. They are looking at you. If you say good morning, they will say good morning. That's the only one they get. Why am I saying that? He said that the gospel of prosperity we preach to those people makes no meaning. The level of wealth amongst them is so great that it's not as if this man is rich, man rich. No, it's just their normal life. A man living in a property inherited from his grandfather, maybe, and he has a lake inside it, he has houses. He's not thinking he's rich. To him, this is how normal people live. So when you come with some of your gospels, all right, it makes no meaning, doesn't make any sense. You can't relate with it. You know, when he said that, I said, this is what I've been telling you, that some of these are gospel of poverty. We should try and rise beyond it. It doesn't deliver people from poverty. Keep on telling them, you are poor, you are poor, you need to come out of poverty. That's not true. I'm rich. You know, I've told you that several times. You are a blessed child of God. You are rich. Let nobody tell you that, look, you know, I heard, look, let me say, I know some people know good like him, but I don't care anymore. I have to warn you. Today, you are going to give an offering that will end your poverty. Listen, my friend, the day you gave your life to Christ, your poverty ended. It is a lie that you need to give an offering to end your poverty. If you are still poor, please don't give an offering where I'm present. I want offerings from prosperous people. You get my point? Who know that they are givers? My prosperity may manifest only in 10 naira today, but I'm giving it because I'm a blessed man. I'm not giving it to bribe somebody to bring me out of poverty. I was brought out of poverty when Jesus died. All the reasons to hold me in poverty, Jesus paid them off. So when I give because I'm a rich man. Some pastors make me laugh. Every Sunday, people are breaking poverty. It's obvious they did not break it. The Bible says it, that the fact that they are coming back to offer the same offerings shows that they couldn't take away their sin. What am I going to explain here? You will still see hunger for God deep in the hearts of people that seem to have everything. Are you getting my point? You see hunger for God. People who are looking for God. God has planted eternity in your heart, in the hearts of everybody. Everybody is crying for the knowledge of God. Don't need to go and show off one material thing to show that God can do. Look, listen. A poor man will walk, you know, materially speaking, into the house of a very rich man. That one will kneel down to give his life to Christ. What am I going to explain? Christians, our boast is only in one thing, in what Christ has done in us. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That minister said to me, he said, look, some of the things we take for granted, and you've heard me say before, that you don't know how blessed you are spiritually. That is, you're so blessed sometimes you don't even understand the depth of the blessing. That you don't have to, before you sleep at night, rub something on your head. You know, there are people that you can't cross their right side. No, so it's funny, but it's called bondage, Joe. And someone I knew then, a friend to my dad, childhood friend. My brother was staying with him then in Enugu. Said that every day, look, every day, before he goes out in the morning, that he said if you see a part of his head, the hair is there is discolored. Because every morning he will release incantations and all of that, blow, and then rubs stuff. The reason that enters my head is baby oil. And your hair is only Emily Millionaire and what was the other one? Revlon. You don't know how blessed you are. That you don't have to part your hair and shook something inside and cover it for protection. He said that every day this man wake up in the morning, he must do all, go through the, you know, incantation and everything. Protection from enemies. Let me say to you, if you are still going, look, listen, you know, I told you that I've left all, I'm not nice anymore. Gone are the days when I don't want to offend people. Now, if you want to be offended, you're on your own. Hear me. If you are still going to a church where you are facing your enemies every day, you and your pastor have problems. Spiritual ones. If every time something happens, you are still casting back to sender, or better like this, you should give your life to Christ. You are still in bondage to the devil. I went somewhere today, I saw the back of motorbikes. You know these mud guards, I don't know what they call the one at the back of bikes. Two bikes parked side by side, back to sender, back to sender. I said, aye! Back to sender. You are going everywhere, rejecting things that are not your business. Because of fear. The Bible says that Jesus came to deliver who were those who were held by the fear of death. What I'm saying is this. You are so blessed that you go around life not worrying about these things. You don't know the depth of wealth that God has poured upon you. And those who can't sleep at night. Let me tell you, the only thing that keeps me awake at night is Kingdom World Ministry. I'm trying to, you know, finish like... Israel slept here yesterday. That is, no, I mean literally slept here. Literally laid down here and slept till morning. When I was leaving, I said, Israel, let's go now. He said, Pastor, I have to be back early because Zim is coming to come and clean. That, no, I shouldn't worry. Let him just sleep here. I came this morning, he said, oh, boy, you sleep? He said, mosquito. I said, sure, I told you yesterday, follow me home. Those are the only things I'm telling you. I woke up very early this morning. Because we have to get our broadcast ready and off to South Africa by Monday. Apart from that, those are the things that have the ability to periodically keep me awake. The fear of tomorrow, no, it can't keep me awake. I'm an overcomer. I'm a victor. Are you getting my point? That's what Christ Jesus has done for me. I've heard jokers tell me preaching. Say, the sins of your ancestors is none of my business. The man died with his sin. He doesn't concern me. Is he not dead? Yes. Why are you worrying me about his sin? For your information, my own ancestor is alive and is well. They killed him. They did not know. The Bible said if they had known, they would not have touched the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have. Now he's risen. He's above. He's been made righteous. The Bible says he was raised for my justification. You know what it means? It means that his resurrection was a sign that there's no sin on me. You and the man preaching it to you are confused if you have to offer a sacrifice to remove the curse on your grandfather. Jesus died and removed all those things. My identity is in Christ. The sin my grandfather committed is none of my business. I'm not of flesh. Are you getting my point? I was born of the Spirit. The seed of God is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm sorry to say this. A lot of people who handle the Bible and climb pulpit, they don't know the Bible. Like this man said the other day, our friend from America, Oliver Anajemba, he said it's another form of mythology, it's African mythology. That the Greeks had their own mythology. The Africans still have their mythology. That African mythology has not entered into the pulpit. Today, all the Ogbanje spirits in this place. Hey, wait. Listen, there are no Ogbanje spirits in this place. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. The devil preys on your ignorance. Now, if you were here when we did our School of Bible Exegesis that time, we discussed what it meant to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What it means is that I write my own laws concerning what is right and what is wrong, based on my discoveries, not based upon the revelation of what God has said. Because what happens is that eventually you will discover that God is right. Now, so what has happened in this life is that men have written their own laws. Are you getting my point? They have written their own laws. Their laws of, for example, very good example, two examples I'll use. Their laws of business. And their laws of marriage. Very good examples. They tell you, now, if I say this, it will surprise you. Most of the things we learn, all right? Okay, then let me say most. A lot of the things we learn in what we call business schools, all right? They are worldly principles for doing business. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, a lot of things people with, well, let me put the word used to, and in a lot of business schools, they teach you how the world is supposed to get results. Now, what you now see is a this reflects into society by how businesses are done, and then eventually the results that they bring forth. Now, when I say result now, I don't mean the initial prosperity they shout about. I'm talking about the cyclical collapse of the system. Are you getting what I'm saying? All flesh is what? Grass. So they will build a great enterprise or build a set of businesses. Then God will look one day and say, the breath of God blows upon it. Then you hear that Fannie Mae gave money to Freddie Mac, and Freddie Mac took money from Little Rock, and Little Rock, is it Little Rock, the one in UK? And Little Rock, anyway, I don't know, you know, there's one rock bank in UK, and then this one took money from, what they call it, Lehman Brothers, and cut it long story short. One man after the other starts collapsing. They collapse and collapse and collapse and collapse. Collapse, collapse, collapse. They keep on collapsing. And someone says, what's going on? They say, all flesh is grass. What it means is that they built a system based upon the knowledge of good and evil. What they said was right. Are you getting my point? Listen, when God called the nation of Israel out, you know what he did? What he did was that he said, you are my special people. That scripture that Peter quoted, it took it from what God told the nation of Israel initially. A peculiar people, a people for God's own possession, to bring forth what? The excellencies of him. So what God did, all right, in you and me, is that he brought us forth, listen to this, to write new laws. Now, get what I'm saying? For the earth to abide by. I don't know whether you hear that. I don't know whether you know what I'm saying. That is, they wrote laws of banking, the laws of business, and that leads to a cyclical collapse. Periodically, the banks will fail. I'm not being prophetic or being too wise. This is basic knowledge. How can banks collapse today? You don't change the rules. You inject money into them, and you think that they won't collapse tomorrow. I told you that I read a book just a few months before the collapse in America began. And the book said that they will soon start shouting for bailout. And when they shout for bailout, government will bail them out and they will collapse after a few more years. And I was watching one man analyze it, I think on CNBC, they were discussing this was an Al Jazeera, that, okay, what is going on? There was one economist and another one. One is insisting that all this money that they are pumping into the American economy, that what they should have done, listen to this, is to let the banks collapse, let the economy collapse, let the industries collapse. That what is keeping them up now is a lie. That is, we are lying. The day they took, I didn't even know it was possible. That the Obama government was injecting, I've forgotten how many billions again, into the economy. So where's the money coming from? Guess where? They just went into the machine and printed dollar. I thought it was only DME that did things like that. That Americans printed a few, I think trillions or okay, hundreds of billions of dollars. No, get my point. They just printed the paper. You don't understand what I'm saying. They just took the paper, printed it, and said, look, O Israel, here is your God. You understand what I'm saying? That the way they run it. That they threw their brains into the machine and out came this paper. And, O Israel, this is your God. That was what Aaron said in the wilderness. That he threw the gold into the fire. And this calf, Waka Komots. So I was watching it. So things like this still happen. So one man was saying that, listen, you know what's going to happen? These banks will collapse again. These industries will collapse again. That we should have just allowed this thing to collapse. And then we'll build solid things again from the beginning. That it will be hot initially, but it will last. But that this one we are doing now, that the Bible calls it, they have healed the hearts of the daughters of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, I'm putting scripture to it. He was just wondering that this thing won't work. And this is my own logic about it. I believe in for one simple reason. You have not showed us how you change the laws. You want to put some regulations in to make people continue doing what they were doing that wasn't good, and that before they fall, we'll catch them. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You see your children working on your railing in the house. So that instead of telling them, stop working on that railing, walk down on the steps. You go and put nets to catch them when they want to fall down. Now, please, Are you getting my point? This is the point I'm trying to bring up from there. God said there is another law. There is another way to do businesses. You know, I said this, marriage is an example. I sat down, my wife was yesterday in the evening, we were watching TV, and I told, I did something led to it. They're showing some, you know, foreign stuff. I told my wife, you know one reason why I would never have agreed except by revelations and this thing to marry a white woman? She said, why? I said, because I just believe that she will get up one day, say she's tired of marrying and go away. Now, it's just what I've observed. I'm bringing out something. When you look at the divorce rate amongst them, all right, and spreading into our country too if we're not careful, all right, it's not because of anything special outwardly. They say that some of these men are abusive. There are two kinds of abusive people. There are men that are abusive and there are women that are abusive. You know that? The abusive men use their fist. The abusive women, I don't know how they do it, but they can run the guy mental. What I'm saying is that it's not just men that are abusive. Both men and women are abusive. The problem is not what is outside. It's the law that they have written. And all you need to do is hear them educate their young people. And you will know that this young boy and this young girl is going to get a divorce one day. That is, we remove the laws of marriage that God wrote, threw it away. And say, how we solve a problem with your husband and wife is negotiation. You will talk and talk. Sigmund Freud and his friends taught us psychoanalysis. We did everything apart from convert our lives to be in conformity with the written word of God. Please, I'm bring out something in all of these things. Now, what God called you and I to do, that's what I'm going to, is to come and write a law for the earth to obey. He said the law will come forth from where? From Zion. That is, it is your job. Now, not just your pastor's job, not the teacher, the Bible teacher's job. My job is to tell you the word of God, all right, in here. Then you go out there, live the word of God. Now, you're not competing with the world as who will build the most expensive company, who will become the richest man in the world. No. The only time God stands and declares who is really the greatest, you know when? It's in the time of adversity. I don't know what I heard I said. He said, the wise man is the one that hears my words and builds his life on it. And I will liken him unto a man who dug deep and hit bedrock and built his house upon the rock. The man who built on the rock and the man who built on sand. Let me ask you, whose house went up faster? The sandman. Now, outwardly, let us assume there was no storm for 100 years. Will we have ever known who built on the rock or on the sand? No, we would never have known. The time God takes his glory, hear me, is in the time of adversity. And I want to tell you something before I close, or as I close today. Don't ever be afraid of adversity. When they tell you that banks are collapsing, don't ever be afraid. You know why? Because it must happen. It will happen again and again. Nations will collapse. Banks will collapse. Businesses will collapse. Diseases will hit the world. Problems will never end the way we say it. No, they won't. You know the reason? The only time they will end is what medicine they call herd immunity. When we have filled the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas, so that when God blows, he doesn't find any grass to burn. Why collapse comes again and again is because God is demonstrating that all flesh is grass. And listen, the only reason why you will be afraid is because you were building also with grass. Are you getting my point? Listen, I'm talking about the things that are above and the things that are below. The Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven. That is, God has sent us to come and write his laws. You know what Jesus taught disciples to pray? He said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. I don't know whether you're following what I'm going to explain. There are things that God has written in the heavens, and your job as the citizen of heaven is to write those laws. Listen to this, not to try and belong. That's why I told you it is not possible to follow Christ without persecution. It's not possible. It's not possible. These days, the church we have made a mistake. We started bragging in the fact that big businessmen come to our assemblies. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. Every man has the right to go to church. But this is why we should brag, that from our assemblies, big businesses of a different sort, operating different laws, were born. I don't know whether you hear me. You didn't hear me well. No, you know what we should brag about? That somebody will say, ah, don't mind those people. Their own things are different. Where did they come from? They started from church. I don't mean a church. Churches are not supposed to build business. That's not what I'm saying. People inside it, they began to build. Now, let me tell you this prophetically. Your building of anything in life will be slow. The word of God does not spring quickly. Let me say it again. No? The problem is that the world is trying to teach us to mind the things that are beneath. Rejoice, young man, when you don't have a car. There's no big deal about it. Rejoice, young woman, when you can't have the wedding of your dreams. I always say, what is wedding? One day. What is wedding? One day. What you should go for is what? The marriage of God. Do you get my point? And listen, sometimes God will say, oh girl, you know all your life, you have drawn the gown you wanted to wear. This is the kind of engagement ring you wanted and this, and you have drawn everything. You say, yes, sir. He said, this is the sacrifice I will accept to bring a real marriage into your life. You won't have any of this. I know when you were on campus as a preacher, I have learned the principles of faith, and as you begin to declare, you conjure up and you look before your eyes, and I know that after a year of leaving this campus, I'm driving back with a brand new Honda. Brethren, because I saw it, I sat down and I drew a picture, and it is unto me according to your faith. Because I know Allah. Then when you finish with the Honda. Baba go, because say, oh boy, come. Do you want the Honda immediately? Or you want to become a Honda yourself? That is, your whole life, you'll be giving out Hondas, cars, building cars. He say, yes. He say, okay, oh boy, 15 years trekking. Say, Lord, what did you say? What about the place where I bragged? He said, that's the first thing. I have to put shame on your face. If I don't do it like this now, you won't be humble. You don't know you are proud. I'm the one that's telling you now. Oh boy, I've seen pride. Let's remove it. Shall we do it? Bros, you go trek small. And as a rule, you will go to that campus and preach twice a year. And listen, after 4 years, I'll make sure they have a car to come and carry you there. No, you see, I'm telling you the truth. All the long story you have told, it will come to pass, so just it's not next year. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I told you there's a material I'm working on called the hundredfold blessing. Let me quickly give you a hint on what I call a hundredfold blessing. This is a story about this. This is the first chapter of the book. I'm giving it to you already. All right? You know of the man Abraham. All right? Now, this man was called at the age of 75. He obeyed God and God blessed him. Do you believe that? All right. It really happened. And then 25 years after he was called, his wife was 90 years old and she gave birth to Isaac. Do you believe that? Before that, he had a son called Ishmael. And Ishmael began to prosper and Isaac began to grow. And let's stop the story there. At that point, the Bible said that Abraham had become rich in cattle, in goods, in everything. And now he had his own children. Let me ask you a question. Let us assume that his story stopped there. Do you think we will have gist about him till today? No, no, think about it. Okay, let's assume it's a modern day story. Do you think we have something to tell about him as a man that's blessed? No, no, you reason it well. Yes, he was called. He obeyed God. God made him rich. He had a son. He had a second one. If the story stopped there, that was a great man, man. I don't know whether I get the point. Except that that was not satisfactory to God. God said, there's another level of blessing we have to get to. He said, how do we get there? We take Isaac from you. What am I saying? If Abraham had refused to sacrifice Isaac, do you know that we would still have told the story of a man that obeyed God and was blessed by him? Except that we would never know that he refused to sacrifice Isaac. I don't know whether I get the point. If he did not sacrifice Isaac, Ishmael would have probably grown, become a great nation or something. You won't know about it. And then another story starts from somewhere else. God starts building another man up. And you will tell the stories. Now listen, this is why kings will die in Israel. And you will be amazed because they will say, this man so pleased God. And then suddenly he woke up, he died, having read for 15 years. And they said, this man really pleased God. And you are amazed. Because God was not ready to deal on the issue of the sacrifices he refused to make. I don't know whether you are following my point. That is, Abraham, his story was told fully because he gave the final sacrifice. Are you getting my point? He did. That was why his story was fully told. Many people, God makes demands of them. They hit what Jesus called a 30-fold blessing, a 60-fold blessing, but they don't hit the 100-fold. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is, what God wants from your life and from mine is for you and I to hit the 100-fold level. And this is the point I'm making. When we are getting to the 100-fold level, Isaacs begin to die. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's why we have to preach this message. Oh boy. Our job is to bring, now, this is what the 100-fold blessing is. To write the law of God. Because there is a part of God inside the heart of everybody. Look, God has many sides. There's a part inside your heart. There's a part inside my heart. If I don't write my law, the earth will not know what the God inside Banky was supposed to look like. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. You know what Satan is trying to do? That's what I'm going to. Satan wants to distract all of us from all of those things. He wants to tell us, look, focus, be blessed materially, and show that God is good. Because no, that's not the issue. I can bless you materially. And then one day I demand my Isaac. And don't forget to read it in my book. Isaacs, they die. Don't think that God will just change his mind. Last. No. Isaacs literally die. They do die. In fact, when that man came up to Jesus and said, what must I do to gain eternal life? This is what I think. He had achieved 30-fold blessing, 60-fold blessing. Then when it came to the time for a 100-fold blessing, Jesus looked at him and said, one thing you still lack. What is it? And I will discuss it after. But first, go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor, then come and follow me. You will discover it. And then the man turned around and left. Listen to me, he was materially blessed. He was a rich man who was elevated amongst the people even though he was a young man. And he didn't gather his money through iniquity. How did he gather his money? Through obedience to the laws of God. He said, all these things I have obeyed since I was young. Everyone. And God said, there's another level of blessing I want to take him to. So what do? We take our Isaac from him. And then he will discover another law of God that needs to rise for the air to see. And the man looked, shook his head, and walked away. And Jesus said, look at him. Let me tell you something. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him when he came. That this was a man who had obeyed God. 30-fold blessing he had received. 60-fold blessing he had received. Then to step into a 100-fold blessing, he turned around and Jesus said, how hard it is for a man whose eyes, now I'm putting my own words to it, are on earthly things. How hard it is for them to achieve the 100-fold blessing. The 100-fold blessing is not about material possession. The 100-fold blessing is for you to be a statement describing the character of God in your lifetime. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining. That is, they want to see what God looks like in ministry. They mention your name. They want to see what God looks like in business. They mention your name. They want to see what God looks like, all right, in marriage. They mention your name. They want to see what God looks like working as a civil servant. They mention your name. But you know what the world is teaching us? Mind the things that are beneath. If your material possession is not increasing rapidly, then you are not obeying God. If your material possession is not building up fast, then you are not doing what is right. Then you don't know. God said, no. I can bless with all of those things. I want that. I call for my Isaac. Or physically, you have not even achieved it, but inside your heart, we are doing deals in which I will take things you wanted to achieve, and that is my Isaac. I don't know why I went into all of that, but I want to just understand something. Your purpose in life, okay, yeah, that's a good way. I think that's where the Holy Spirit was taking us to. Your purpose in life, which marks your identity. Oh boy, it is not for people to tell stories, say, man, that guy, you know, people have said it, man of God. Even me, I make jokes about it. See, that man of God is driving, see his cars, they are blessed. No, we say things like that. We do. But the man I told you that I loved his cars because of the way they were big and he numbered them in order, where is he today? Ichabod. What do you call Ichabod? The glory don't work. Do you follow my point? That is, look, my life is not about material blessing. No, it's not. My life is so I can describe. That's my purpose. That's why I rejoice only in what I am in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm coming to. I don't have time to boast about any other thing. I rejoice only concerning that which Christ Jesus has made me. And that is enough for me for rejoicing. I told you that song they used to sing. People say it was unbelief. I say it's a lie. It wasn't unbelief anything. He said, take the whole world and give me Jesus. He said, take the whole world and give me Jesus. That it was all his unbelief. Listen, I have realized that it's not unbelief. It's a statement of purpose. Are you getting what I'm explaining? It doesn't mean that, look, Jesus said it clearly. These things are added. If they were not added, he wouldn't have said they were added. Material things will be added as you require them. But they are not the reason why you live. A lot of people go to church because church is another way of getting material things. The pastor has, the babalawo has his own. You kill two goats in the morning and one fowl at night. Do that regularly, your business will do well. The pastor said, no, I have my own. I also collect my own yam. You know, how many of you read that book? When Ezulu did not say it on time to harvest yam, the pastor started collecting yam and releasing them to harvest. So the pastor said, no, our own is that, listen, if you give like this and do like this, you also will get it. That is, you and the unbeliever are going for the same thing. What am I preaching today? No, that's not the identity of a Christian. We are not minding the things that are earthly. You will discover something. Life, if you understand God, you mind the things that are in heaven. Material things will not matter to you anymore. What I mean is, it doesn't mean you never have what to use. You see, when people corrupt this, they become monks. Remember, they become monks. They wear dirty clothes and walk barefoot and be meditating morning till. Now, that's not Christianity. Christianity is that I can drive a Lamborghini today and take a bicycle tomorrow. And Paul said, I can do all those things because it is Christ that strengthens me. The God that uses airbag to protect me today will also protect me when I'm on a bike without seat belt tying me to the, you know, nothing. So if I fall like this, I'm on my own. You know, that kind of thing. That same protection that he gave to me in the car that had all the padding, he can give it to me also on a motorbike. That is what is called, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you getting my point? I hope you are following me. Please, oh, my own assignment these days is to call people to real Christianity. Amen? It's to call people to what? Real Christianity. And let's recognize that we're not supposed to be minding the things that are on earth. Our focus must be on the things that are above. What are the things that are above? Let me just summarize for today as it applies to today. Only boast in that which you are in Christ Jesus. You don't boast in any degree you have. You don't boast in where you come from naturally. You don't even boast of your way, like I was born in America. I told you before. He doesn't, look, I remember that when my wife was going to deliver Akinlu, and Jesus was going on, my mother-in-law was trying to say, ah, okay, go and visit your sister. He said, you deliver. My wife said, look. So, after I born finish, when will I come back home? Maybe after 6 weeks. Ah! My husband will not see his child for 6 weeks. How they go anywhere? And I remember what my mother-in-law said. He said, the two of you, your case, you people are just different. The way you reason, nobody understands. It reminded me of what my own mother used to say. My mind too, that's a testimony. A lot of people will jump at it. And then you now come back. Where are you? I went to deliver. And somebody lied to you he said, give your children a chance. What nonsense chance? What nonsense chance? Do you know the chance these children need? They have it already. There's no child of mine that is giving birth to I don't bless. And I bless them continually every morning, literally every morning. My children can share blessing. That is, they can take, say, ah, your papa never prayed for you in recent times. Take small. Hold. That's the chance they need, I'm telling you. That's the chance they need. I am so full of that thing. I'm so full of it that there's no country on earth any one of my children will want to go to and they will not be able to go to with ease and live there if necessary. Let me tell you what will happen, both in my life and the life of my children. when the somebody will say, I'm wedding, you know, and the person they are talking to, maybe, take to this scenario as an example, maybe the person is in America or is in England, and their friend, maybe a young person, oh, you're getting married, oh, what present do we give you now? And just call another person he knows, please help me find a good real estate agent there. I want to buy that guy a house as a present. Just stylishly ask him the kind of house he likes and where he would like it. The guy says, okay, I like this guy. Okay, no problem. How much is it going to cost? He says, sir, that one is expensive. How much? I have about $250,000. He says, all right, this is the way it is. I pay cash. I don't like this long-term mortgage. All right, the day of his wedding, I will not be able to attend because I'm going somewhere else. But give him the keys and the papers. That's my gift from my wife and I. And that's a boy talking from Nigeria. Yeah. I can do it. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. All these things are added. Let me summarize so we can go. Why we mind those things that are above. Why we rejoice in what we are in Christ Jesus and not boast on my nationality, my degree. And you now think because you have a PhD, you are superior to a man who doesn't have. And when people are talking, you don't think you should talk in your presence. May Jesus not deny you. The Lord is good. Have I taught you anything today? Or I've only preached to make myself happy? The Lord is good. Thanks for at least making me feel happy. All right. Let's give the Lord thanks. The Lord is good. Come on, let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you are good. Thank you.